Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Water Dam Church. Please rise and sing with us this morning. Psalm 95 says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song." So let's do that this morning. Lift up the name of Jesus this morning.
Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your light. We are here for you. We are here for you. To you our hearts are open.
Sing it out, let us shout.
Let us shout. Be your anthem. Your renown. Fill the skies. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your word move in power. What's dead come to life. We are here for you. We are here for you. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone.
Gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away.
No one else can satisfy.
strong and kind. Jesus said, if I am lost, he will come to me, and he showed me.
And you stole my line. Well, good morning. Welcome to Water Dam. It's great to see everybody. Yesterday, the board spent about 7 hours together from 8:30 until 2:30 or so. And we spent a lot of time thinking about what our goals are for the rest of 2020 and 21. It was a very exciting time to be together. And we did a devotion at the beginning, and I wanted to share some of that with you because I think it's very relevant for all of us too. What I had called the devotion was faith is seeing the unseen. And of course, right now, we don't know what's ahead for us. So, you know, we have to have faith in God. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says that we walk by faith, not by sight. And here, right, sight not only refers to physical eyes, but it includes all our five senses: hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, and touching. But in other words, what Paul's saying is we can't live by just those five senses. We have a sixth sense, and that's our inward eye. And that's our faith. And Jesus says, blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. And in John, faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Faith is daily walking hand in hand with God. If we truly walked by faith instead of sight, our prayer life would be revolutionized totally, wouldn't it? And then I think this is what struck me most when I was putting this together for us to think about. And it's faith is above reason. God doesn't expect us to submit our faith to him without reason, but the very limits of our own reason make faith a necessity for us. Think about this. This is what really blew me away. Human reason was altogether opposed to what God had made known to Noah. In all probability, Noah had never experienced rain. He had no idea what rain was. You could see that in Genesis 2:5. There were no shrubs. There was no need for rain. There were no plants. So there was no rain. And definitely, he perhaps had never even personally seen or knew what a vessel was that was going to go on the sea. So he didn't even know what a boat was. He didn't know what the word float meant, probably, right? Certainly, he'd never witnessed anything like the cataclysm that was about to come to the earth, 40 days and 40 nights of rain. So there was no precedent to support any faith for him, right? And it was very unlikely that God's justice was going to destroy the whole human race and thus his mercy be swallowed. The threatening judgment was a long way off, 120 years, right? Everyone mocked Noah. No one believed his message. No one volunteered in helping him. He had absolutely no technical knowledge in how to build a boat, right? And it was going to float on water without an anchor. And what about steering? Moreover, he had no understanding of how he would survive in a sealed ark, for he didn't know how long. The only opening, though, to that ark was a window to heaven. Think about that. The only thing he could see was the sky, so he could pray. So think about everything that's going on with us now, COVID and division and all that. But then think of Noah and the faith that Noah had that he went through. I mean, I think it's a lot easier for us to have faith in God and knowing what Noah's faith was in and what we're going through right now. So let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for you, for being with us. Lord, we ask that you would just continually be with us and strengthen our faith in you. Lord, I pray for those among us that, excuse me, that are fearful in this time, and I pray that you would give them a calm spirit. Lord, I pray that more and more would come back to Water Dam and be with us and be among us. I pray for those that are lonely and depressed, and Lord, that friends and family and those in the congregation would reach out to them when they feel called. Lord, I pray for our nation and our leaders. Lord, I pray for our board, and I pray for all the things that we talked about yesterday, Lord, that you would continue to bless us and give us wisdom in the decisions that we make in these changing times. Lord, we want to glorify and please you in everything that we do at Water Dam. We just ask that you would continue to lead and guide us in those ways. Lord, we pray for all of our missionaries serving in foreign lands, but today we especially pray for Emily Sears, for EFCA Reach Global in Berlin. We thank you, Lord, for the connection she's made and deep conversations that she's been able to have because of COVID-19 and the isolation, but she's been able to get closer to people and talk to them in more focused ways. We just pray, Lord, for her that you would continue to surface fears, questions, and struggles that folks have always been able to ignore and soften their hearts of Berliners searching for the truth for you. Pray for church leaders there for refreshment and renewal. And we also pray, Lord, that you would continue to draw people's hearts in Berlin and initiate revival in that city. Lord, we have many among us that are sick and ailing, Lord, and we want to bring those to you. We pray for Jack and the lung procedure that he's going to have on Tuesday. We pray for Melody, who's receiving chemotherapy for an autoimmune disease. Lord, we pray for April and her surgery's over. We pray for her recovery. We pray for her family to be strong for her. Lord, and we especially pray for Laura, who's lonely, and Lord, folks would reach out to her. And we pray for all those that are feeling isolated. We pray for Carol, who needs another blood transfusion, and pray that her blood levels will return to normal and that she could come home. Pray for Chris. Lord, we pray for all of our first responders and those that are out among us, Lord, and facing danger. We just pray for their safety, Lord, that you would protect them. Pray for our military serving in foreign lands, Lord, and that you would watch over them. Pray for all those among us, among our families that are pregnant with new life. Pray for each and every one of them that, Lord, that you would bless their children and, Lord, make them, Lord, give them guidance and wisdom in how to raise them. Lord, we pray for Andrew and the message that he will give us today. Pray that our hearts would be open and our minds would be ready to receive it, that we might share it with others. Lord, finally, we ask that you would bless the offering, Lord, that you would, Lord, have us put it to good use, how we would continue to glorify you and further your kingdom here on earth. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A few announcements for you. This is the last call for the winter coats that are hanging in the lobby. They've been here since last winter. Take a look and claim any coats that are yours. We're going to donate them in a couple weeks if they don't get picked up. And great news, adult Sunday school classes are resuming today, 9 o'clock and 10:30, so that's wonderful. We're meeting in the adult classroom in the new education wing, second door on the right after you leave the lobby. So you go down here and it's the second door on the right. Everyone's welcome to attend. The Canonsburg Houston Meals on Wheels ministry is in need of drivers and runners. And you can imagine when we're talking about, you know, people being lonely and isolated, there's a lot more need for delivering meals to folks. So if you have, if that's tugging on your heart, I would just ask that you would contact the church office. You can call Marge and find out more details about that. With that, I'd like to get to our scripture text today. And if you would, turn with me to Matthew 25, first, verses 31 to 46. Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. This is Jesus speaking. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it for me. Then he will also say to those on his left, Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. And the second passage I want to read is Matthew 22, 36 to 40. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets.
Good morning, all. It's good to be with you today. And I told Dan Fennell last week that this week's sermon can be summarized by the title alone. Sheep or goats, radio or not, here he comes. But I thought it would be wrong for me to say the benediction right after I read the title. You know what my favorite part is when I'm preaching up here? It's the study. It's such a privilege to dig into the scripture, dig into God's words. And when you do it long enough, when you continuously zoom in and zoom out of the word, you can catch a glimpse you can catch glimpses of its beauty, of its depth. How the scripture is so tightly packed and so wonderfully woven and interlocked, for all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And I hope that through the sermon, I can show you a tiny glimpse of how deep the scripture goes. So whenever I jumped into Pastor Jack's series, I like to do a recap of what was on the previous weeks. So let's look at...
Ready or not.
Now that's a bad, bad man. He would say, look, the master is gone. Who knows for how long? So, why can't we play? Whenever we have any questions, he would beat us up. And then he would go out and play and drink with his buddies all day long. But the other guy, now he's different. The other guy who the master put in charge was so different. He would say to us all the time, the master is away. But I know that he will come back. I know that he will come back for sure. So he keeps working. He keeps working like there's no tomorrow.
We tried to tell him, get your oil ready. Get your oil ready. Maybe they just forgot. We were waiting for the groom to arrive. And the next thing we knew, we fell asleep. He showed up out of nowhere. By the time he did show up, all our lamps were out of oil. Luckily, we had some spare. And we did it, and we're locked out of the banquet.
Was it fair? No. But each servant had a chance to invest the money the master entrusted to them. The master said to the two servants, enter into the joy of your master. You have been faithful with little. Now I will put you in charge of many things.
I still couldn't believe it. The other guy had the guts to criticize the master. Well, I guess some rebels will stay rebellious until the end.
So, I don't know what possessed me to create that video. I must have missed the theater so much that I don't know. It's just one of those weeks where I don't know where my creative juices are flowing and give me in the direction towards. But essentially, that's the recap of the previous three episodes that Jesus presented to his people, to his disciples. To give you a little bit of a background, it started out with a question by the disciples. In Matthew 24, verse 3, the disciples asked, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now, I've said it before behind the pulpit that a lot of times Jesus' answers to his disciples' questions are confusing. And it went off a different tangent. And that's basically because the disciples were asking bad questions. That's Jesus' way in saying, okay, you asked a bad question, here's the better question to ask. But this time, he answered them directly. So Matthew 24 and 25 are known as the Olivet Discourse. So he answered them directly what the end times will be, what are the signs, and what it will look like for the end of times. And then he proceeded with, when? No one knows. No one knows except for the Father. But be on alert. Because no one knows when the end of times will come, be on alert. And there where he followed with the four episodes on readiness. So the first episode was about the evil and the faithful servants. They were both put in charge of the master's belonging. The master went away, and the evil one beat up his fellow servants and go out and drink all day, where the faithful one worked and be prepared until the master comes back. And then Jesus said, be glad those who are found to be working on the day that he returns. The second parable was about the 10 virgins, the wise and the foolish. And you saw from the recap, it's just about 5 virgins who were prepared and have spare oil, and 5 who didn't have spare oil. All 10 fell asleep. The groom came, caught them by surprise, but the wise ones with the spare oil can greet the groom and invited to join the banquet. The rest were locked out. The parable of the talents are interesting. It's about the one who was given the 5 talents, the 2 talents, and the 1 talent. And that was last week. Pastor Jack mentioned about the readiness, about working faithfully of what God has given you, because each of us has been given talents according to our abilities. And then we came to the 4th episode this week, the sheep and the goats. So going into the sheep and the goats, there's an important difference that I would like to bring to your attention. Let's read again. Chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Notice when, not if, when. This one is not a parable. This one uses a metaphor. Notice the previous ones, the kingdom of heaven is like. But this one, it says, when the Son of Man comes. Verse 32, all the nations will be assembled before him. All the nations, as in every nation, as in any nations, as in the whole nations, as in the nations, all nations thoroughly. All means all, no exceptions. All the nations will be assembled before him, and he will separate people one from another like a shepherd separates the sheep and from the goats. So again, episode 1, 2, and 3 took forms of parables. They are fictions told to make a point. Episode 4, however, took form of a metaphor. It is a prophecy that used a comparison to emphasize the message. To separate people like sheep from goats. So back then, in the Middle East, people herd sheep and goats together. They look more alike than different. I know us in the Western society think, whenever we think of sheep, we think of fluffy little creatures, very cute and adorable. My professor was raised on a farm during his youth. He raised all sorts of farm animals. And then he said to him, whatever the word sheep is mentioned in the Bible, cute and fluffy doesn't come into his mind. He said, sheep His quote, "are dumb as a doorknob. Sheep are clueless." Did you know that if you leave sheep out there on the pasture and then comes the rain, and then if you leave them alone, they would stare at the rain until their fur gets so heavy, and then they would tip over. And then you have to get them up within 30 minutes, otherwise their organs would shut down and they would die. Talk about a brilliant instinct for preservation. That's how clueless sheep are. Sheep also won't eat or drink unless they feel completely secure. Unless their shepherd made them feel completely secure. So when God says we are his sheep and he is the good shepherd, it should bring an image of that. We are high maintenance people. We are high maintenance, but thankfully our good shepherd is gracious and merciful. Goats, on the other hand, they would eat everything. They would eat everything, anywhere, anytime. They are as clueless as sheep because they have no discretion as to what they're eating. They would eat metal, they would eat mud, they would eat little bitty grass that takes hold and that takes root in the desert. They will eat anything. But alas, the people, we are going to be separated like sheep from goats. He's going to put the sheep, let's continue on. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. The position of the right is known to be the position of favor. The position on the left was known to be position of unfavor. Let's continue on. And then the king said, will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So the funny thing about this one, on the previous episode, it seems like the readers or the audience are led to know what's coming. Already know what the verdict is going to be. But this one, the verdict came out first, and then the explanation came later. That should raise an alarm of how different this episode is compared to the previous three. So again, the sheep is blessed by the Father, and then they will inherit the kingdom. They will inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So this was a long time plan that came unfolding in its fullness from the foundation of the world. And then it says, "For I was hungry, you gave me something. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." And then the question came from the sheep. "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And then the king will answer them, "I'll tell you the truth, just as you did it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." So the answer was given. But verse 41, it says, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. So on one side, on the right, are the ones who are blessed by the Father. On the left are those who are accursed. On the right, that will inherit the kingdom. On the left, that will be pitched into eternal fire. For those of you who don't believe that hell is a real place, it is real, my friends. It is as real as the kingdom that we are about to receive for those who are going to be put on the king's right side. And that's all I'm going to say about that. And then again, it will go into the reason. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not receive me as a guest. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. All the same reasons, but they did not. So the did versus the did not. The next response is interesting. 25:44, then they too will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not give you whatever you needed and did not give you whatever you needed? So the people on the right will say, when exactly did we do all this stuff? The people on the left said, wait a minute, we did give you all that stuff. When did we not? If you remember from episode 3 about the rebellious servant that said, Master, I know that you are an evil master. You just want to reap what you did not sow. So I put my talent, my one talent, into the ground. Here it is. Sounds familiar? The people on the left are rebellious till the end. They said, when did we not do all those things? And then the king's answer is interesting. Verse 45, then he will answer them, I'll tell you the truth. Just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. And these will depart into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. There's an elephant in the room here. The least of these brothers or sisters of mine, who are they? Who are they? Some will say, oh, Jesus was Jewish, so these gotta be the Jews. So we need to be friendly to the Jews. And then some will say, no. The brothers or sisters of Jesus are the church, the missionaries. He was prophesying about how they will be put into prison, so on and so forth. I took a different view on this. Whenever it's mentioned here about eternal punishment and eternal life, I was reminded about the parable of the Good Samaritan. There was a lawyer who asked Jesus question. How do I inherit eternal life? And then Jesus said, love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And then also love your neighbor as yourself. But then this lawyer said, "Who are my neighbor?" Kind of like the same answer, the same question as this. So I figure they must be connected. So he told a story about a Jew that went on a journey, and he fell to the hands of robbers. And then there was a rabbi that passed by and then went around him and disregarded him. There was a Levite that came, that went around him, disregarded him. And then there was a Samaritan who took care of him, went to great lengths to take care of this person. What it says here is that race, social circles, and religion don't matter in terms of saying who our neighbors are. It's how you love them. It's what, with what kind of heart we love our neighbor. That's what counts. That is the point. The one who is being neighborly to this Jew is his neighbor. So going back, who are the least of these brothers or sisters? Who they are don't matter. They can be the Jews, they can be the church, they can be the missionaries, they can be the poor, they can be all the needy person in the world. But how we love them is the point. I take inspiration from the people around me. I don't want to rob this person of his reward, and I know he won't brag about this, but Paul Deakins, he told me the story about that time he was in West Virginia. He took care of this old lady, went into the crawl space of her house that's flooded, trying to fix something. He can hear critters all around him. He would do it for this lady. And then when this lady went into the hospital, he would stay bedside next to her, feeding her spoon by spoon. That is the heart of a sheep. I would remember the story about, well, when my mother, she was in Indonesia. During this whole COVID deal, people there are hit hard. Because the rich people, they would go to the supermarket and they would hoard the oil, the rice, the products. The poor people who live paycheck to paycheck, whenever they go to the store, there would be nothing left. So my mom would gather up supplies, put them, like assemble care packages. And then she would drive, and she would look for beggars and people on the intersections who are selling papers and things like that. She would give them the care packages. She told me this one story. She always had eyes on this one gentleman, but then she passed them, and then she couldn't find him anymore. One day, she found him, and she went directly at him. She forgot to wear her mask and everything. And the person kind of coughed, but then she didn't care. She just wanted to see him and gave him the care package. But what about the volunteers for our preschool, for the nursing homes, for the special needs kids that have to clean dirty diapers, take care of the dirty diapers, number one and number two. The least of these brothers and sisters of mine, it don't matter who they are, how we love them is the point. Love God, love others. Do you love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind? Enough to love the least of all people. In fact, the only way we can prove our love to God is by showing it to others. That's why this is number one and number two and the most important commandments. There's no way, no how we can say, I love you, Lord, but then you don't do it for the least of these brothers and sisters of his. I think it will help to put together a chart of all these four episodes so that you can see it all on one sheet of paper. So here I have the ready and the unprepared, and I have the attitude, the actions, and the aftermath for the ready and the unprepared. So first, the attitude. The attitude of the ready, they are faithful. They are prepared to greet the coming of the king. They don't know when. Nobody knows when. But they are faithful and they are ready. While the unprepared, they stayed ignorant and they are rebellious. They say, it's not going to be until later, so I'm just going to play. And then they are rebellious, just like the case of the third servant and of the goats. The action. The ready will work for the master. They will minister for him. They will love him with all their heart, their mind, their soul, and their strength by loving others. When they see the hungry, they'll feed them. Whenever they see the thirsty, or give them drinks. Naked, clothe them. Scared, visit them. On the other side, the unprepared would resort to power mongering, beat up the servants, getting drunk. They're lazy, critical of the master, not loving. The aftermath, the ready will inherit and rule the kingdom with the master. Do you realize one day we will inherit the kingdom that is prepared for us? And we would rule it with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This life is not all there is to it. Whenever you see the unprepared out there getting drunk, lazy, prosperous, we should pity them, because that's about as good as it gets for them. Because what's coming to them, they are going to be chastised by the master. They're going to be pitched into eternal fire. They will weep, and they will be filled with regret for all of eternity. So, I figure, since my master are so good with parables, I should too attempt in delivering a parable to close this out. When I moved here from Indonesia, I was not aware of the term study guide. I know that you're familiar with all with the study guide. Basically, the professors or the teachers would give them to you at the beginning of the semester to tell you what this class is all about, what the final exam is all about. I was not privy of that back in Indonesia. I never know what's going to be on the test. Here it's a little different. So I came up with the parable of the study guide. So the first day of school, a professor came into his classroom to find five students. And then he said, "Class, this is going to be a tough and long journey to finish the course emphasis on a long journey to finish the course. There will be a final exam at the end to see if you can move on to the next step of your education. I can't tell you when. Only the school president knows when the final exam will be. However, I have this study guide that's going to tell you how the test is graded, so be prepared. Study it well, and you will do well. So after the class was dismissed, and then the semester went on, the first student said, "I don't know the exam date." He doesn't know the exam date? Pfft, forget it. I ain't studying. I'm going to go out, get drunk. I'm going to come back home, sleep it off, play video games all semester long. What's the use? Student number two said, "It's okay. We got the study guide. We got the study guide. I just studied the night before the exam. It'll be all right." The third one said, "What an evil professor. You know what? He just wants us to have a good grade so that he can brag about how good of a teacher he is. So, forget the study guide. I'm studying the way I want to study." The fourth one said, "Study guide? I didn't know there was a study guide. Maybe I misplaced it." But the fifth one used the study guide to know how she is measured, is going to be measured. And she's trying to frame every lesson that semester and frame it in the context of the study guide and try to apply it in her lives. So which one are you? It doesn't matter. Ready or not, here he comes. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your study guide. We ask for your forgiveness because a lot of times we leave it collecting dust. We don't open them. We fell victim to unpreparedness. We fell victim to our laziness. Lord, please bless our journey. Keep reminding us that there's an important test that's coming, and we better be prepared. Help us prepare. See us through this. And in Jesus' name we pray. All God's people say, rise and sing.
Justice bow to Jesus.
if you are afraid of the study guide, if you feel like you can't understand it, that's why we are here. We are here as a community, as the body of Christ, to study together under the feet of our Master. We need this. We need this. Whether you know it or not, we need this. So come. Come. Let us study together. Let us love the Lord with all our hearts, all our minds, our souls, and our strength, so that we can go out there and we can love others just as the Lord loved us first. We will do this together. And we can do this because we have been blessed by the Father. What grace demands, grace will also supply. Let's bow our head in prayer. May the blessings and the love of God the Father and the grace of His Son Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all until the end. And all God's people say,
amen.
Have a great week, folks.